Booker Tov. Today's daf is Pesachim Daf Vav. Pesachim Daf Vav. We're holding on Daf Hey Amid Beis by the two dots towards the bottom of the page. We were explaining, we quoted a long brice yesterday, which was focused on the dinim of chametz that doesn't belong to me, but is in my rishus. So if a guy has chametz in my rishus, or if a gavaya, if hektish, chametz belonging to hektish is in my rishus, what's the status of that chametz? The Gemara seemed to actually, the Bryce and the long Bryce seemed to go to steer. At one point, it seems to say, it's fine if it's not yours. Another point, the Bryce seems to say, it's okay. It's an issue. And the Gemara is going to address that steer right away. So first, our first topic is going to be discussing exactly this idea of having other people's chametz, or chametz doesn't belong to you, in your domain on Pesach. Is that an issue? The Gemara then is going to move on to a topic of Shleishim Yoyim Kaidim al Chag. It relates to how close to Chag, when a person leaves his house, does he have to do Bedika? And the Gemara is going to connect it with the general idea of 30 days before Chag. We talk about the Yanim of Chag, the Halachas of Chag, and then from there we get to a topic of Muktam Umeucha B'Teira, whether or not the Torah is written in chronological order. Those are going to be the three main topics of the day. Says the Gemara, Amar, two dots right by the wide lines. I would think they're able to just cover up and keep and take possession of deposits, cover up chametz or deposits from goyim, and it's not a problem. It's in my domain, but it doesn't belong to me, and therefore it's fine. Tamalem leimatzi shouldn't be found by me at all. So we learn from the pasuk shouldn't be found by me that I should not be containing holding the chametz of a guy, even if it doesn't belong to me. Marishus is a problem. Hamid reisha shalcha yataraya avat reishalchem. But in the reish the brisa we made a diak of shalcha yataraya. A person is not allowed to see his own chametz. He's not allowed to see his own chametz, but he's allowed to see the chametz of a chayyim. Meaning, it's not a problem if the chametz belongs to others. It's seemingly a steer in the right, so whether there's a problem for me to be housing chametz of others on Pesach. Says Malaykasha, Hadakabla Achrayas, Hadakabla Achrayas. Where's the biggest side? It depends if the Yid was Makabla Achrayas. If Yid accept the responsibility when he's watching this, if he could also accept the responsibility, then it becomes like it's in his domain, and therefore it's a problem, even though the chametz belongs to Guy. If the Yid did not accept responsibility, then it's okay. So when it says, Shalcha, when it's yours, it's a problem. When it's not yours, it's not a problem. That's talking about when it's not yours and you did not accept responsibility, talking not a problem. But in the case room, when it says lo yimatze, in the part of the brayso of lo yimatze, where it's a problem that even finding chametz of others by a person is an issue, is where the person accepted, the host, the landlord, the yid, accepted achrayas over this guy's chametz, over the chametz of the hekdash, and therefore it's indeed going to be an issue. Kihad, like we find, da'amu l'rava l'bein mechuzah. Rav told the people of the name mechuzah, Be'iru chamira devei chayilim abatechu. Get rid of the chametz of the soldiers. The goyish soldiers had provisions that were stored in the houses of the locals. And over here, we're talking about Yidden. So Rava said to the Yidden, make sure to get rid of the provisions, the food that was set aside for the soldiers that are chametz in your house. Get rid of it. Why? Even though it belongs to the guy, it's chametz belongs to the guy. Kivin dilu megnav vilu mitver. Since if it gets lost or stolen, it's going to be your responsibility to pay up. You know what that means? Kidil chun dami vaser. It's like it's yours, and therefore there's deserve chametz. So exactly, the Gemara is saying, Rava's psak, the people of Mechuza, in the city of Mechuza, Rava's psak is exactly like this chilik, this distinction we just made, that something which is the person's achray for, if he's responsible for it, is considered like it's in his rishus, and therefore there would be an isra of lay matzah, of having the chametz. Something which you're not responsible for, and you're just hosting, would not be an issue. But in the brayso, when we said it's a problem, lay matzah is talking about where there's achrayas. Says the Gemara, hanichan, and this idea that something I'd be responsible to replace if it got lost or stolen, it makes like it's mine, and therefore I'm achray. The Gemara wants to make this tully in a famous machlekes. It comes up in Shas many times. Is davar hagayr lemamen kamamen, something which in itself is not necessarily mamen, but its loss will cause me to be chayiv mamen. So it's not really my mamen, but the fact that it exists saves me from having to pay other mamen. So is that called mamenus or not? Says the Gemara, honey chlamadamer davar hagayr lemamen kamamen dami. That is good according to the opinion. Says something which causes someone to save money, to benefit, to have money. So therefore, that has the status of money. So it's very good. We're considering it like his money. Let's go Rav's case. The case by the soldiers, where the host has this food, these provisions for the soldiers. So long as it's extant, so long as it's in existence, and it's safe, the owner is able to just leave it for the soldiers, and he doesn't have to replace it, doesn't have to pull money out of his pocket. If it gets destroyed or lost, he's going to have to replace it with other monies. So therefore, that's a davar hagayr lemamen. Its existence saves him money, and therefore, and we're saying in that case, it'll be a problem if to get rid of it, because for chametz purposes, it's an issue. Says, well, that's good if you hold davar hagayr lemamen. It's like it's your mamen, and therefore, that's what makes sense. You have to get rid of the chametz. Ella, according to Man Damar. The Man Damar is lavka. Man Damar goes to Man Damar. That's not called money. Money is what I actually own. Something that saves me from having to spend money, that's not called money. Just because it saves me from having to spend money, it's great. It works to my benefit. But that's not called my mammon. If it's not my mammon, so why am I chayev a chametz on Pesach? Mike, remember, why is there a problem by Yira, by a matzah for such chametz if it's not called my mammon? Says the Gemara. So our Gemara is clear a raya to the Man Damar davar gal mammon because Kabam Dami it is shver according to the other opinion. Gemara says no. Shani hacha da amar leyamatzei. The pasuk's lashon is leyamatzei. Shouldn't be found by a yid. It shouldn't be found in our houses. That lashon leyamatzeh is more encompassing. It's coming to say, meaning, even if it's not a regular proper ownership, even if it's kind of a indirect type of benefit, like davar gairim, still it's going to be chayev. So meaning, you know, we don't have to come out to davar gairim the moment. It's not mamish like my money to be chayev. Even if it's not my money, the fact that it's in my possession and it's in my domain and it saves me from money, that's also enough. And the Gemara actually brings a version now the opposite way. The Gemara is going to say a riot in the opposite direction. Ikadarmi. According to the opinion that holds davar gairim l'mammon, that which causes me benefit of saving me money is not considered like proper money. That's why I needed lo yamatzei, this more encompassing term to tell me that there's a chiyuv, even if it's just in my possession and it's not mamish mammon, I'm still chayev because davar gairim l'mammon is not a mammon dami. So that's more top of vav malv. That's why you need lo yamatzei to darshan that even though it's normally like top Rashi says lav kamamim, but alma is lav kamamim dami. Davar gairim l'mammon is not a mammon, but over here the gabi chametz, I still have to worry. I have to be concerned that there's an iser. That's the kind of the rebuy of lo yamatzei. Elamad dami. But according to the opinion, davar gairim l'mammon, something which saves me from money, from having to spend more money, to owe money, is considered my money already. So of course, it's over in this iser of chametz would apply. We have bayyara bayyamatzah. Who needs the additional? The additional lashon, the more encompassing lashon of lo yamatzei, says Gemara Elamad Amar Kibamadami lo yamatzei lamli. Why do I need lo yamatzei? Once there's a din that by Rabbi Yamatzah, of course, he's going to have to get rid of the guy's chametz because it's for him. It's like mammon for the yid because it saves him from having to replace with other money. Itzuch Gemara says no. Still, I still need the pasul lo yamatzei. Because I mean, I would have thought hayol v'chi aisei be'en hayol v'chi aisei had be'enei. The Mara says a nice chap. When this item is around, you're right. A davar gairim l'mammon is k'mammon according to this opinion that we're dealing with. But when the item is around, I don't have to give back something else. Not only do I not have to, I'm not supposed to. I'm supposed to give back the item itself. The item itself is returned to the owner. When it's not lost, when it's not stolen, you return the item itself. Since when it's around, it's returned to the owner in its original state. You don't obviously have to replace it. So therefore, maybe it's considered so long as it's still around. It's considered in the reshus of the real owner. Meaning, when I'm watching the soldier's food, or when the guy has his chametz in my house, since if it, as long as it remains in regular status, it goes back to him as is. There's no distinctions made, no money paid. So therefore, maybe as long as it is in this status of as is, it's still by them. It's considered by the soldier, considered by the guy. Once it gets destroyed, maybe that's when we have to start donning that it was davar gairim l'mammon. Now I have to replace it. But while it's around, maybe that would not even be called an iser of being in my possession. Kamashman lo yamatzei, it's found by me. And I've achrayus. That's enough to make me chayev in by Rabbi Yamatzah. So again, the guideline we've given based on the Brisa is that when something is in my possession but it does not belong to me and I have no achrayus for it, it's not a problem of the chametz being in my house. Whereas if I have a chayes for it, then it's going to be an issue. Boy, me name Rava. Behemas Arnuna, the behema of tax. So, in order to properly understand the Marshaila, we have to know that obviously just some basics. A bechar, the firstborn of a kosher animal, is the firstborn male animal born to a kosher animal goes to as a din of bechar. And so it goes to the kayin. In the time of Beis Midrash, goes to the kayin, he brings as a carbon, then he gets to eat most of the meat. It's kachar kalam. I mean, kayin anyway gets to eat kachar kachar. But the point is, the meat goes to the kayin, he takes it home, and he gets to eat it. Within Yerushalayim, whereas b'zman hazeh, or when there's no Beis Midrash, you can't bring it. Obviously, when there's no Beis Midrash to bring it, you have to wait for it to get a mum. Once a bechar gets a mum, this applies even during the Beis Midrash time. When it gets a mum, it could be shechted in the privacy of one's home. It could be shechted, and you're just not supposed to, you're supposed to treat the meat with a little bit of extra kedusha, that you don't sell it in the market, you don't like kind of demean it by bringing it, treating it like regular other meat to sell it in wholesale or retail in the marketplace. But otherwise, you shecht it and eat it at home without any dini kachim. That's the general din of bechar. Now, the din of bechar applies only when the ownership is fully owned by a yid. If there's a geisha partner involved in it, then there's no longer a din of bechar. As a matter of fact, we spoke out in the gemaras over there in Bechiris that the gemara first speaks in a negative sense about someone who has a guy take a small partnership, a small ownership in order to pater from Bechor, it's kind of circumventing the mitzvah we spoke out. And on the contrary, now that we have no Beis HaMikdash, and in times where a person lives far from the Beis HaMikdash, where there's a concern you're going to have this Bechor roaming around, that you got to wait for it. Having a Bechor around, they have to wait for it to get a mum, is not a very good situation, because till it gets a mum, a person, it's subject to the possibility of a person misusing it, being over Me'ila, and the like. And therefore, in order to avoid that, we'd rather not have the Bechor in the first place. So now, on the contrary, using these methods of taking away the mitzvah b'char by making a guy partner is something that, on the contrary, that we purposely do, it's actually recommended. But okay, but over here the shaila is as follows. We're talking about a case where the king, the officer, has rights to tax, he taxes the people, and one of the taxes were, actually, ironically, like 10% of behemah, kind of like ma'aseh behemah. 10% of the behemah would go to the king. So really, within every behemah, he owns 10%, but the way they used to do it is, you would give him one out of every 10 animals or so, whatever the percentage was, you'd give to the king. So the shaila is as follows now. This ownership of the arnuna, of the tax, that the government has in the animal, does that make the guy a partner, and now there's no longer dinner b'char? Or since you're going to pay him with something else, since you're going to place it with something else, we no longer view the animal itself as really belonging to the king. You happen to owe a tax based on the animal, but you owe a tax based on the animal, and therefore the animal will still have dinner b'char. That is the shaila really related to, obviously, this idea of something which is causing money, so to speak, in the opposite direction. I owe money to the king because I owe the king has a right, really the king has a right in the Bechar, and I'm able to just deflect it with money. Is that considered enough that he no longer is considered owning the Bechar? Or no, since I could deflect it with money, we no longer see him as a partner, and it will not partner from Bechar. Let's see. Says the Gemara. The behema of a tax. What's the shaila? If you can always get rid of the king by just giving him some cash, paying him off, and paying him off sounds a little bit misleading. You're not paying him off, like you're not bribing him. You're paying him a tax. You're just paying money in lieu of the animal. Of course, you're chayiv there because the guy really has no ownership in the animal. He really is just that was his place. That was just the rate. We set the rate of how much he's going to tax based on how many animals person has, that's how much you're going to tax. But the actual tax is not paid for the animal necessarily, and therefore he has no ownership in it. Therefore, there's chayiv in meiser, chayiv in bechar. What's the shayla? Where you can't, the yid cannot get rid of the guy al yedei paying money. My amalu b'tur. Rav says p'tur. He's considered a partner. V'chatani chayeves. We learned the b'risa chayeves. Hasan the matz v'salikli. The b'risa says that's not a kasha. The b'risa says you chayev in bechar by an animal. The guy has rights to take, and the guy takes animals. He's talking about a case where you can be misalik. The ma'isik misalik. The b'risa says that you are chayev in bechar must be where you're able to pay the guy off, and therefore it's still going to be chayev. Ikadamri. Okay, says the Gemara. Igadarmi, some have a different version of this conversation. Amarav, of this member of Rava. Amarava, Pemis Anuna Petum Rav Chayra, Pemis Anuna is Pater. Va'afa Gavda Matzim Salakli. Even though you can be Masalik him with money, so you say that the guy doesn't really have an ownership of the animal, it's still Pater. Isa Sanuna Chayvis Bechala. Whereas the Isa Sanuna Chayvis Bechala. The reason would be, by the way, that's Liam what you asked a minute ago, the reason why you'd be Pater is because it's Davar Gayim. Because Lamaisa, the reason why you're Masalik him with money is because he has a rights to the animal. So even though he could be Masalik him, still he has a rights to the animal, he's considered a partner, and therefore it's Pater Bechar. Isa Sarnuna, however, a dough that the guy has a right to tax, Chayvis Bechala, there is a Chayv Chala, Afakav Delemats Masalikli. There's a Chayv Chala, even though you cannot get rid of the guy, there's still a Chayv Chala, which is a Chiddush. You can't get rid of the guy, he's Mamash a partner, and there's still going to be a Chayv Chala. Why? My Taima, Behemoth Sekala, Isa Lasekala. Seems to be some sort of Gezer Darabanan. Behemoth is a call, meaning people know about the king having rights to someone's animal, so even if he doesn't end up taking the animal, he's Masalik with money, people knew about it, and therefore it won't be, when people see this guy not treating the animal like a proper Bechar, they're not going to say, oh, this guy's not keeping the it won't be, you don't have a Maris Ayin issue, because it's everyone knows about it. It's Yidua that this animal, the king had a right to it, and therefore a pater it. Whereas by the Chala, even though the king really has the rights to it, and you can't even Masalik with Mammon, he's going to take a portion of the Chala itself, still it's not put from Chala, because we're nervous that the average person seeing the guy just eating his dough, without thinking, it's funny, the most people, are they so aware of which stage a person's at with the dough, and that they never remove Chala, but I guess there's a concern that someone who's watching, who doesn't see him take Chala, is going to think he's just shirking responsibility, take Chala, Al-Samaris, and it's a problem, even though it's clearly going to be, it's really putter, because we're talking about a case where the guy has rights to it, and you can't be Masalik him. Okay.
Tanaban. Back again, we're still talking about scenarios where the guy's chametz is by the yid. A guy that walks into the chatzar yid with a butzik, with a roll of bread on Pesach with dough in his hands. Ain zak levar. The yid does not have to burn that chametz because it's in his domain. It's the guy's holding. It's the guy's chametz. And the yid does not have to destroy that chametz. Hefkidatzli, however, if the guy left it for him as bekadan zak levar, then the yid has to destroy it. Yichle bayis, if the yid was miyachad a spot in the house for this chametz of the guy, ain zak levar, you don't have to get rid of it. On the contrary, that's actually how many people, how people we've discussed in the past, even though it's don't sell chametz gomer, I was instructed directly by Rabbi Kanner that if you have a guy that you know firsthand and you want to sell chametz gomer, if you mamish to a proper kinyan where you give them a makam in the house, where you miyachad them a makam in the house, and you have them do a kinyan akbah, and they take it and they put it into that spot. In this case, my particular case was putting it into a fridge or a freezer in the house, in a location that was rented to the guy with a proper contract. That could be, even if you can't sell chametz gomer, in the chayr, that's a case where you're doing a real sale. And if it's real, I mean, it's always a real sale, but if you do all the mechanics of a 100% kosher sale, then the chayr, even chametz gomer, shouldn't be an issue to sell. But the point is, I really should take it back, because always, even by regular, general chametz selling, where the Rav does it on behalf of all the Yidden, and you're not doing a direct kinyan within each person's house, you really are, because you're giving over the rights to the guy to have access to that spot where the chametz is, and the spot where the chametz is, you are doing a kinyan of the makam there as well. So here's the same idea. If the guy has rights within the Yid's house, and the chametz belongs to the guy, no problem. Ain zakl. You know why? It's not a problem. Ain zakl. You have to mivar it. Shenemar leyamatzi, because it says in the pasuk leyamatzi. Now it's funny. Leyamatzi usually is nisr. We had a similar question yesterday. Leyamatzi in the brisa. Leyamatzi is coming to say you shouldn't fire chametz by you. It's talking about a restriction. We're using leyamatzi to say that the leyamatzi tells me that you don't have to worry about the chametz. That's by the guy that in the domain that you gave to the guy from your house, and the chametz belongs to the guy. You don't have to worry. It's the din doesn't bother us. We can understand the din makes a lot of sense, but the source leyamatzi is shver. My come ask him right away. What's this memra in the brisa of leyamatze being a source that you don't have to get rid of the chametz? Amar Papa Reishikai, leyamatze go back on the first din that when it belongs to when the guy is putting the chametz as bekadan in a spot that belongs to the yid, then it's a problem. Even though it's a bekadan of the guy, it's a problem because it's leyamatze. That's what it means. Zakamer if kitatz in the case where the guy deposited by the yid, zakamer I have to get rid of it. Shemar leyamatze. So our Papa says the leyamatze is out of order, so to speak. It goes back on the first part of the brisa. Vashyamer no leyamaseifik guy. It's going on the last part of the brisa. And read the entire pasuk. It's like the Bryce was quoting a vechule. Vachamar yichle bais. If you make a place for the guy in his house, ain't zak levar. You don't have to go destroy the chametz because it belongs to the guy and it's in a spot that was designated for the guy. Shenemar leyamatze. You don't have to go too much further. Next word bivateichem. You cannot find chametz in your home, in your own house. In my own house, I can't find chametz. In my own house, I can't find chametz. But in this house, this part, even this room of this house, halav yideihu, doesn't belong to me. The nachri kikamayel, leves nafshei kamayel. The nachri being chametz, as being chametz into his own domain. It's his own, that room or that spot was given to the nachri, and therefore it's not a problem for me to get rid of the chametz. So lo yimatze is taka miyat lekula, that you don't have to worry about getting rid of the chametz, because lo yimatze bivateichem, in my house, and that's not called my house. The member, effect about 1 second, the member, the schir is kanyi, tell me that schir is a kinyan. Renting a property makes a kinyan, meaning we no longer see it as belonging to the landlord. Kozman, it's rented, but we see not like that legabe avay dezer, vatran. We learned in the Mishnah legabe in avay dezer tam chafalof, legabe having avay dezer that's in a house of a yid rented to a guy. Even though they said you're allowed to rent the house to Gayim, little base dear Amru, not for a place of dwelling. You know why? You're not supposed to rent your house to worshiping to a guy who's worships Avodah Zarah, because he's going to bring Avodah Zarah into the house. Why is it? What's the problem? We don't like Avodah Zarah in this world, obviously, but what's the problem that it's my house? It's not my house. I rented the guy right now for all intents and purposes. It's his house. What do you see? If you hold kind of even when the guy brings the avodah zarah in chalila, he's bringing it to his own house, not my house, and therefore shouldn't be a problem. Like we're saying, my chametz by us, since we rented to the guy, belongs to the guy, the house. When he brings the chametz, he's bringing it to his own house, not my house. Therefore, it's not a problem. So why by us are we saying it's not a problem? I'm avodah zarah. It is a problem. Shiny hacha, the Gemara says it's different. So again, ironically enough, we're saying the leyamatze is actually a miyat lekula. Leyamatze means it shouldn't be found found by you. It's got to be found by you. If I rent out the house, I rent out the room, and it's no longer mine, it's not called found by me. Found by me is a stronger lashon. It's got to be in a place that's mamish considered mine. If it's mamish considered mine, that means once it's rented out, it's not good enough. Whereas by Avodah Zarah, we don't have that lashon of Leyim Matzei. Even if it's not mamish found by me, it's rented out, but it's my house, that could still be a problem by Avodah Zarah. But by, even though by Chametz, Leyim Matzei will say it's not a problem. I'm Rabbi Demarav. How many chametz based on the yamtiv? Personifies chametz in his house. Yamtiv kli fill of a kli. He should take a kli and turn it upside down over the chametz. Says Rashi, why? What's going on over here? Rashi says simply because he's first of all, Rashi is always of the idea since the first line of the Masechta that what do we do bedika for in order to avoid bayir or bayir matzah. Rashi right away just over here that the, we're talking about a guy who found chametz, but he's not even bayir or bayir matzah. You know why? Because you have bittel. Remember that was Tosfos Kasha Rashi in the Masechta. Who needs bedika for bayir or bayir matzah? Bittel takes care of bayir or bayir matzah. Here Rashi, I mean it's a fair Shigemara. Here Rashi says explicitly as well. Rashi says very clearly there's not going to be an issue. We're talking about a situation where he's not necessarily over bayir or bayir matzah because he already was mevatel any chametz. He's Kol Chamira, he said before Pesach, he's Mevatel any chametz, and therefore even this chametz that's found in his domain was batel, was according to Rashi, batel means it has no shavius, has no chashivas, according to Tosfos means it's like hefker, but the point is not over bayir matzah, but there's a problem. What's the problem? It's still a nice piece of cookie in his house on Pesach, a very dangerous thing to have a chametz in his house on Pesach that he may come to eat, so you cover it with a kli. Why not move it out? Because it's muktzah. It's muktzah on Pesach, move it out. Chalamayid, you take it and you'd burn it. But with on yantav, proper yantav, you cannot burn it. What do you do? You cover it. You cover it. Okay, Tosfos asked actually about Tosfos. So some of you are thinking, I'm sure Leon, you're jumping to this of ain kli nitl, right? From we had back in Shabbos, the halacha is that if something itself is muktzah and can't be moved, so then you're not allowed to move a kli for it. Says Tosfos, you're right. Tosfos says, you're right, there is a din to make kli nitl, at least there's an opinion that holds that. I'm not allowed to move a kli for the purpose of something that in itself is mukta. I cannot move a kli for that purpose. However, in this case, where the chumr, so it's talking about chumitz, which is a chiv karis, if one eats chumitz, by mistake, won't be a chiv karis, but it's an avera that bemeis it, has chiv karis, such a strong avera, we kind of relax the din of kli nitl in order to protect the guy from eating. So that's what you do, you cover with a kli. Okay.
This is not a
dovah shein
and nitzel. It's just
offer
according to Rashi.
No, very good. You say Tosfos
l'shitasei.
Very good. Nice chab. I'm not sure if it's so pasha. I mean, meaning you're saying that the fact that the guy is mevatel it, and according to Rashi means there's no chashivas. It's like there's no chashivas. It's ka'afra da alma. So that wouldn't even be called ain kli nitzel sovach dovah shein shenitzel because it's we see nothing here. Obviously, we're covering it for a reason because we know it's really a cookie. But because there's no chashivas, maybe there wouldn't be a dinner ain kli nitzel. It's a chiddush. According to Tosfos, that's hefker. Then just because hefker, Avada will still be Tosfos Shitase could certainly ask the question. You say perhaps according to Rashi, it wouldn't be a question. Nice chab. I'm not sure if it's for sure true, but it's a nice thought. Amar Vidam Rab. Hamaitzi Chametz Beis Abiyamtiv. Again, what should he do? Kaifa Levis the Kli. He covers to the Kli. Amar Rava. Im Shal Hektashu. If the Chametz belongs to Hektash, ain't Tzarech. You need not cover it. You know why? My time in Mivdal B'Dil Mine. As far we had earlier in this Masechta, that normally Chametz, a person doesn't separate himself from. That's why we have all these extra Chumras to be careful to the Torah. We said even on a Torah level. Bayirah, Bayamatzah, Tashbisu. It repeats again. You shouldn't buy chametz because it's something that we're so used to doing all year round. Therefore, there's extra concern. Chametz that's hektish. We're so used to being careful and not touching hektish all year round. So I wouldn't have to cover it even because once it's hektish, we're confident I'm not going to touch hektish. I'm always careful from hektish. Chametz of a guy in one's house, you put a mechitza of 10 tefachim as a reminder, again, not to forget oneself and eat it on Pesach. This is a very similar psak, that's why it's being quoted, obviously. If it's a hekdesh, then in its tzarech, you need not make this mechitza, this heker, to show, to remind myself, to separate it, that he shouldn't eat it on Pesach. My time in Mivdol B'dili, in Ishbinei, a person is always careful from hekdesh regardless. Vamiv demarav. Hamifarash veitz b'shar, now we really get to. And the reason why the context of here is we're quoting members from the same author, Rav Demarav, we're quoting different halachas from Rav Demarav, so that's what we get from Inyan Inyan, right? But Inyan, it started off with a person finding chametz in his house. We spoke about chametz that doesn't belong to him from a guy, from Gavaya. We related to finding chametz that he was already mafkir, or chametz of Hekdesh again, which one that he only has to cover, the one that doesn't belong to him, but because he's mafkarit, but the one of Hekdesh doesn't even have to cover. And now from the same author, the Rav, we get into a memra of how close to Pesach a person has to do Bedika. Says the Gemara, if he's leaving his house, within how much time of Pesach, from leaving his house, is he still obligated to Bedika? Amar Vidam Rav, Hamafarash Vayetz Bashar, one who goes off, sets out either with a caravan or at sea, he's leaving town. If he's leaving town more than 30 days before Pesach, he need not do a beer of chametz. If he really was in town within 30 days of Yom Tov, Zak Levar, he has to do a beer chametz on his house. Amar, he's got to do bedika and a beer. Amar, baye, hadam, teich, shashim, zak, levar, lamar, el shadat, lachsar, avin, dat, lachsar, in zak, levar. So baye says, well, one second. This that you got to do a beer chametz on the house if he's leaving within 30 days is only if he intends to come back during Pesach. If he doesn't intend to come back before or during Pesach, on Pesach itself, he need not do a beer because he's not going to be around Pesach, and therefore no need to do this beer. Obviously, you can't, even if he's not supposed to own chametz, but the Baal Masagi, he need not do the regular beer and bedika. Amalei Rav says, no, opposite. Rav says, I understand. What's the 30-day cutoff then? If a person's planning to come back, let's say, on Pesach, so even if he's leaving for Rosh Hashanah, he's leaving six months earlier, right? So 7 months earlier, of course, he should still be chayev in Bedika because he's going to arrive on Pesach, and if he didn't check for chametz, there may be chametz there. So what would be the cutoff of 30 days? The fact that there's a 30-day cutoff, it seems to get opposite. Within 30 days, even if he doesn't plan to be back, he already was chal in a mechiyev of Bedika, of beer, and he's got to do it. If it's more than 30 days, then it'll be told if he's going back for Pesach or not. It says the word inside. This is what we said before 30 days, you do not need to do a beer. Is Lamar and Elisha ain't diet lachzer. Only when the das was not to come back in time for Pesach, therefore he need not do a beer. El Avil, diet lachzer. But if he intends to come back during Pesach, then Afilim Rosh Hashanah, Zaglar, even for Rosh Hashanah, he has to do a beer. The Mepharshim a little bothered. What's Afilim Rosh Hashanah? What's Rosh Hashanah? Does that mean, so someone to say, Enachami, Davka Rosh Hashanah, before Rosh Hashanah, the simple title would be Mashma, before Rosh Hashanah, if I'm leaving my house before Rosh Hashanah, I don't have to, so far in advance, it's not even the same year, the way we count by Jewish years, I don't have to worry about my chametz for next Pesach. Which is a chiddush, logically, why? If I plan to come back, and we're talking about chametz that lasts, obviously, if I plan to come back, and the chametz is going to be there, what should make a difference? Why should Rosh Hashanah be a cutoff? The Beis Yosef therefore says, Rosh Hashanah means the beginning of the year, not our calendar year, again, Jewish calendar year. Well, calendar is the wrong words, because calendar actually we go from Nisan, from Pesach. Not the year in terms of the new year, Rosh Hashanah, of Tishrei. It means the beginning of the year from last Pesach. Even if I'm leaving the day after Pesach, if I plan to come back again before the next by the next Pesach, then I have to make sure to do a Bedika. Rosh Hashanah means a full year around, not the regular Rosh Hashanah. Beis Yosef, that's his answer. The Bach says, that's a little bit of a deichik to Beis Yosef's answer, but the Bach does bring that some of the Rishonim take out the words Rosh Hashanah. Afilu kol Hashanah, they want to say. Zak Levar. They don't say Rosh Hashanah because they don't like this cutoff point of Rosh Hashanah. Okay. Says the Gemara, Ve'azda Rava Tamei. Now Rava goes according to his reasoning. Dama Rava, Ha'isa Beis Ha'itzer, a person makes his house into an Eitzer. So when a person makes his house into an Eitzer, he has, let's say, chametz in the back, and then he makes the rest of the house into a storage house. So he's piling up things for storage over the chametz, which makes the chametz no longer accessible. So a person who makes his Eitzer into into an Eitzer, rendering the existing chametz there inaccessible. So is there concern about searching that Eitzer for chametz or not? If it's before 30 days, he does have to be mevar, because since the chiyuv bedika then wasn't chal yet, and he's rendering already inaccessible before the bedika, before the chiyuv beer starts, no problem, no need for bedika. But if it's for 30 days, he has to be mevar. And even before 30 days, when we say he does have to beer, it was only said if he doesn't intend to clear out the storage and make the chametz accessible again before Pesach, or by Pesach. If his intent is to clear it out and it'll be accessible by Pesach, then same thing as Rav was saying before about traveling. Because since he will on Pesach, he'll be in a situation where he has a bias that's accessible, has chametz in it, that's going to be a problem. So even if it's before 30 days, there's no magic of 30 days. The magic is the chumrah. If it's within 30 days, even though it's not going to be accessible, even though he's going to be out of town, he still was already mechayev in the bedika. But before 30 days, then he's exempt only if it won't be a situation where he'll be back in town and be accessible to his chametz on Pesach. Hani Shashim Yom, now what's 30 days? We keep quoting 30 days. Hani, as we get to the new topic, next topic. What is the uniqueness of these 30 days? Kedetanya shaylim v'darshim v'hilchas Pesach, kedem Pesach shashim yayim. 30 days before Pesach, we're shaylim v'darshim 30 days before. Shigam el-Aimer, no, shtei Shabbos is 2 weeks. It's actually machlaikis nimer shaynim. Is it tafka Pesach or yam tevim? Right? Pesach, we know there's a lot of dinim of Pesach, and maybe therefore Pesach is mali with obviously the chametz and matzah and the starim and hilchas karban Pesach. There's more dinim. You can say Sukkot also has plenty of dinim, but Pesach seems to be much more dinim. So is it dafka Pesach shoshim yayim or even other chagim as well? It's a discussion. Maybe other chagim one could be suffice with less. But the point is, let's assume it means across the board on yantiv shoshim yayim. You talk about halachas yantiv. Therefore, it makes sense. Once that's when you start talking about the dinim yantiv, that's when we're in that yantiv season. That's when the chiyuv of bedika is going to be chal. That's the connection to the 30 days. Now, what does it mean shoshim yayim kain darshim shaylim darshim milchas Pesach? What does exactly that mean? It's machlekes based on machlekes Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi learns what it means is that the sugya, the curriculum that the Rebbe is going to teach the Talmud, even if he's normally teaching, you know, usually in the yeshivas, they say when someone is like a Bucky Megillah, that means he has a Shvach to save his mom because he's leaving the yeshivas and Masechta, he's learning, leaving the Lamdashim more Be'i and Masechta, and he's going to Megillah. But the Rashi's translation over here is, on the contrary, when it comes close to 30 days before Yom Tov, it's actually a discussion that even if you say Shleish Yom applies to Yom Tovim, they want to say on Purim L'chir would not apply. But anyway, so bad example of Megillah. But the point is that Shleish Yom means you change the curriculum. Whatever sugya you're learning, you kind of put it on pause, or you at least incorporate into your daily schedule. You incorporate speaking about halachas chag. That's what Rashi learns. That's what it means. You incorporate into the Rebbe Talmud. They should be learning about halachas of chag and dinim of chag. That's Rashi. Tosfos says no. What it means is that the halacha is a Talmud is not supposed to ask a Rebbe a question or a Rav, a Shaila, on a topic that he's not fluent in. Obviously, if there's a Shaila, halacha ma'isa isn't relevant right now, you go to the Rav, he has the Shaila because it's relevant. But the point is, particularly if it's not mamish halacha ma'isa, just in lumdas, in Shailas in general, you don't ask a Rebbe a Shaila on a sugi that he's not holding in. It's not considered a normal practice of a Talmud. It's not a proper practice just to stop asking random Shailas, unless, of course, the Rebbe's holding everywhere. But that's unusual. That's unique. So you don't ask a Shaila on a topic that he's not holding in. 30 days before Chag Tosfos, it's normal that the Rebbe should be holding in that sugya. It's incumbent on the Rebbe, on the Rav, to be holding in the sugya, and therefore the Talmud is not stepping out of balance. He's within his proper rights to go ask a question on the topic of Pesach. That's what it means. Now that we're changing the curriculum, it just means what you're allowed to ask about. Tosfos actually says this for a reason. Tosfos is bothered because the Gemara Megillah tells us that Meshu was Masakin, the Gemara Megillah discusses Meshu was Masakin, that a person should learn about the halachas of Chag on Chag and Sukkot on Pesach on Pesach, then on Yantav itself, we should be learning about the halachas. Ask Tyson, what do you mean? We just said it's actually two Gemaras in Megillah. Both these Gemaras, this Gemara that we just quoted about Shleish Yom and the Gemara that I just quoted about on Yantav itself, one Gemara is on Daf, I think it's Daf Gimel, Dalim Megillah, and one's right at the end of Megillah, and the Laman, and the Laman's over there. So, Laman Gimel, Laman Dalim. So, the Gemara itself seems to be a stira. In one place, it's mentioning about 30 days before Chag. In one place, it's saying on Chag itself. So, Tyson says, I'll tell you the answer. The answer is the 30 days just means the Talmud has a license to ask on this topic. It's not considered off topic, out of line. On the day itself, that's when the curriculum is, let's focus on dinim of the day itself. Rashi says, Rashi doesn't like that because Rashi's bothered. That's a little shver. On the day itself, to learn all the halachas is l'chaira not going to be sufficient. Therefore, Rashi learns it already means one should be learning about the Chag, the curriculum-wise, already 30 days before Chag. But when we say even on Chag itself, what that just means is that on Chag itself, it's either too late or you're finished, you don't have to continue. No, on Chag itself, there's an inyan to learn about the Chag, on Chag itself, to learn about the Lachos Chag, on Chag itself, there's also an inyan to continue. That's all the Gemara is adding, not a stira, according to Rashi, it's an addition, but that's why Tosfos learns a different type. Okay, by the way, 30 days is this din of either curriculum-wise or hanhaga wise for the Talmud, what he's like asked the Rav, and therefore 30 days is the cutoff for when there's automatically chiv bedika, even though the person's not going to be there, or even though the chametz is going to be covered in a storage house. Okay, says the Gemara, my time in Tanakama, what's the Shana Tanakama, Shari, meaning, it's very nice that we're saying, Shlesh Yokan Machag is when you darsh Machag. What's the source of that? What's the source of 30 days? Is that recommended time period? Because top of base, Shrei Meshach Ben Pesach Rishon, Meshach Ben was standing on Pesach Rishon, and Mazir on Pesach Sheni. The people couldn't be Pesach Rishon because they were Tamei. So Moshe Rabbeinu was being mazik, giving them the dinim of Pesach Sheni. So it was 30 days before, giving them the dinim. Shnemar v'yasu es Pesach Mayaday or Brishin. Uchsev yenashem ashayib tmei and lefesh. Those are tamei. And they said to Moshe Rabbeinu, we also want to be in Kar Pesach. And he gave him this etza, this din of Pesach Sheni. So we see it was 30 days before. Rabbi Shingo Mila will tell you. So why does he say 2 weeks, not 30 days? Amar he'll tell you. I did the Arba Mila de Pesach, Masak Chomei de Pesach. No, that's not a taina. Once they were talking about Mila de Pesach, he taught them all the Din of Pesach. Since right now is Pesach, this is like the Yom of Chag, it was Day of Pesach, therefore he taught all the Mila de Pesach. I think the question is even more than that. The people asked Moshe Rabbeinu about it on Pesach, because that's when they were bothered that they're not able to bring Kar Pesach. So once he told them on Pesach, he continued to tell them to dinim, but not because 30 days is the normal time. That's just when this topic came up, when they were tummy. Rather, 2 weeks is the normal time. I mean, Rav Shmuel Mill says, Lamar gives, that he would say a different answer, a different deflection, that once we're talking about Pesach, we talk about all Pesach. But I'm not sure why he could even say a little stronger, because that's when they asked. If they asked the question to Moshe Rabbeinu, that's when he gave the answer, but not because that is, I guess the reason why the Mardon said the answer would be is because if you're not, again, the way we explain it for Tesis, if it's not the topic of the day, he could have just said, I think there actually is a conversation, it's coming back to me now, and there's being a conversation about this. It's a Tesis coming up where Tesis says that Moshe Rabbeinu could have told Klal Yisrael, yes, there's an Eitzah of, maybe it's even a Gemara, an Eitzah of Karban Pesach Sheni, and we'll tell you more about it later when it's more relevant. He could have just told him, don't worry, you have Pesach Sheni, and tell him more about it later. The fact that he told him about the dinim, that's where the Man Damar is saying why it's a right to 30 days, and that's why Rav Shmuel is deflecting, saying no, once they were in the topic, they spoke about it, but normally you wouldn't speak about 30 days before. Okay, my time in the Rav Shmuel.
Maybe that's what the Gemara actually means.
Okay, my time in the Rav Shmuel. What is the Pshat of Shigul Meal, that's 2 weeks. Good, he deflected why it's not a month. But what's the Pshat that's 2 weeks? Shrei Mesh, I remember Rosh Chodesh, Umazal Pesach. Mesh stood on Rosh Chodesh, when he warned Klai Yisrael, he gave him the mitzvah of Karban Pesach. Shedemar HaChodesh, Shazel HaChem, Rosh Chodashim, Uchsib Tavim, Kod HaTzrol, Leimar Pesach Chodesh, on the 10th of the month, Azeh, on the 10th of this month, the Nisan, Yichulchem, Ish Selabais, Selabais Aves. So Mar says, very nice. HaChodesh Azeh, who told you that statement was said on Rosh Chodesh? Maybe it was a couple days into the month. Maybe it was already the fourth or fifth of the month. And he said, this month that we're in is a Chodesh Adalachem, and on the 10th day, make sure to take our Pesach. Where do you see that was Amr Chodesh to give you this notion that's 2 weeks before a Yom Tov? You talk about the Yom Tov. Ela Amr Rabba Bar Simi, Mishpeh Ravina, Mehach, Vedabra, Hashem, Amesha, Mid Mimra, Sinai, Bishana Shainas, Bachodesh, Bishan. The Pesach says that Akash Baruch Hu spoke to Mesha, Mid Bar Sinai, in the second year, in the first month, and it says over there, but making Pesach B'mayadai, so Amr Chodesh, we discuss doing the Pesach in this time, same exact type of drasha, 2 weeks before the Pesach, he spoke about the Pesach. Mar asks again, where do you see that's Rosh Chodesh? Hachanami, Ma'ayad B'yeshayach, okay. Who said it's Amr Chodesh? Dilma B'arba, B'yarcha B'chamish B'yarcha. It's funny, I'm not sure what the yichas of 4 or 5. Maybe it's 4 days of the month or 5 days of the month, not Rosh Chodesh itself. Amr Abnach Meitzak. I see midbar. It's taken from Gezer Shava. Ksivacha midbar Sinai. Ksivacha midbar Shavamisha midbar Sinai b'Amayin. Be'echad lachaydish Hasheni on the first day of the second month, on the first day of Ir. It says, but over there it's clear, it says be'echad. So the word midbar is connected with the word echad lachaydish, which is b'shchaydish. So malam b'shchaydish, afkan, so to my nisan, we're talking about where it says the word midbar, it means b'shchaydish. Okay. Fekma b'nichtav reshet to chaydish rishon, fad nichtav chaydish sheni. So now the Mar really gets into, once we touch on this pasuk we just quoted, that's our source, that it was b'shchaydish, that Moshe Rabbeinu told Klai Yisrael about the Karban Pesach, which was 2 weeks before. So now we know Rav Shmuel's source that of darshing about a chag. 2 weeks before, we quote a pasuk about Ir, the Mar just bothered, that pasuk of Ir is quoted prior to the pasuk of Nisan, of Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Why is the Torah writing it out of order? Says the Mar, "V'nichtav b'reisha de Chodesh Rishon, v'had nichtav Chodesh Sheni." Why don't you write first Chodesh Rishon, then the pasuk of Chodesh Sheni? Why is it out of order? Amar Rashi big yisaid. Rashi quotes this many times in Chumash. Amar Rashi b'tachlifa mishmeit Rav Zayis Emeres a muktamu mechavatayv. The Torah is not written in exact chronological order. The Torah is not written in exact chronological order, so you could have a story. The Torah could relate to us something that took place in Ir, and then go back and relate to something which took place prior in Nisan, and that's not a kasha. Says the Gemara, Amar Papa le'amar el b'trei nyanim. Dafkun two separate nyanim. Avachad inyan, one like sugya, one inyan. Then my demukta mukta my demukhocher. In one sugya, what was muktam is muktam, what's mukhocher. The Torah does not go out of order within one sugya. It brings a proof. What's the proof? Because if you don't say this, you have a major kasha on all the many drushes, particularly kal prat. Says the Gemara, kal prat. When you have a kal prat, so Ein b'chal mashe prat. The way we work is we have a generalization and then a specification. We say the specification is quantifying what the klal is. So ein b'chal el mashe prat. Dilma prat klal. Maybe it's opposite. Maybe if the order is the other way, maybe it should be opposite. V'su prat klal. We have prat klal. Nasach al meisav prat. Instead of saying it's a prat uklal, it should be a klal then a. When you have a prat uklal, what we say is it's a klal that's meisav on the prat, which makes it more encompassing. But maybe not. Dilma klal prat. If the order was written in the right order. Maybe it should be, if the Torah's order should be based on on the chronological history of events, then maybe what is going first should really be second, and therefore instead of being a prat uklal, it should be a klal uprat. That is a raya, must be that within one inyan, we say muktim umukhir, there is an order, there is a seder, there is chronology, and therefore you could darshan klal uprat. Says the Gemara, one second. Even if that's your proof that you got a problem by two different yanim, because there's a machlekes whether you say klal prat uklal when the two items and the klal prat uklal are not so close to each other. Ain't done by some klal prat shapir. If you talk don't darshan klal prat when they're not close to each other, then it's good. You have a good. Then it's good because in two separate yanim you don't go in chronological order, and attack fits very well. You don't do klal prat when it's far apart. El lamat number done. If you are done, you do say klal prat even when it's not so close. So Mike Lemaimer, what happens to your issue of chronology? Answers the Gemara. Afilu lamat number done in. Hani mi the bechadin yana avuchay yana ain't done. When we say it doesn't have to be close, it just means it doesn't have to be mamish right next to each other. Same pasuk, next pasuk, a pasuk two later. It could be a bunch of pasukim later, but it still has to be the same part. Even the Mandama says you make a kala prat kala, hamurchakim has to be the same parsha. If it's mamish that parsha, we wouldn't say kala prat kala by items of hamurchakim. So we bring a proof that the Torah is not the Torah in one inyan, even though the Torah is not in chronological order. The Torah in one inyan is in chronological order, otherwise you wouldn't be able to dash a kala prat. Ask Rav Chanan a bomb kasha, and he has an answer for it, but he does ask, yes, a bomb kasha. Kasha is, I don't understand, the Torah still certainly was written. It's not random. The words didn't just fall from Shemayim onto a parchment, and then you have a mumble jumble. Even if you hold, there's no mukum to mukher. It wasn't written chronologically. It wasn't written exactly in the right order historically. This still was written for a purpose in the way it was written. So I could actually call a prat. The Torah was written for a reason. There's, of course, we know there's infinite amount of chachma in the wording, the lettering, the way the Torah is written. So the fact that it's not in chronological order should not take away the ability to make a drasha klal prat uklal. The way it's written today, even if it's not in order, I could drasha klal prat uklal in the regular fashion based on how it's written today. It's a bomb kasha. He gives an answer. The answer to me wasn't nearly as exciting as the kasha. The kasha is so stark, I didn't understand how the answer answers it. I think it's a very, very, very tough question. On this Gemara, that we should lose the power of klal prat uklal once we have chronology? No. It goes based on all drashas. It goes based on the Torah, Basher Risham, the way it's written to us, the way it's written, the way we received it, the one and only Torah, the way we received it without chronology. And therefore, why is that a steer to klal prat? What's this Gemara? It's a stark kasha on this Gemara. We're going to leave it for now. Let's go 2 more minutes. We have to stop. Amar Bidam Rav, Habaytik Tzarkli Chivatel. One who does Badika still has to be Mevatel for Chametz. My Taima, Ineim Shapirun, if it's because there's crumbs that he missed. So he did bedikah, but he missed the crumbs. Therefore, it's mevatel talechashivi. The crumbs aren't chashiv. This is a very important line of Gemara. If you want to hang up one Gemara in your house 30 days before Pesach, this is it. Halechashivi. The crumbs aren't chashiv. You don't have to go with a toothpick in the corners of the floor. I mean, I'm not trying to make fun or disparage the nashim tzidkanis of Klal Yisrael who do that. But the bottom line is, it's definitely not necessary. V'chitema, keep the mintalu agav basic chashiv. Maybe you'll say no. Crumbs, even though they're not chashiv, because it's protected in my house. Whatever's in my house was protecting. That makes it chashiv. Not true. The figs that remain on the trees at the end of the harvest, and he's guarding his field because the grapes that are there, he's not really guarding it for the tainim, for these non-chashiv tainim, or you have the end of the unripe grapes that are there, he's watching his garden because of the gourd and the squash in his garden, and that's still the vines, and ultimately he's protecting the vines as well, but not because of the vines, because when he's makbin on these figs or grapes, if he's not cares about them, then you can't steal. Meaning he's protecting other stuff. That's why he's watching, but he's not really protecting the grapes and the figs. Then there's no gezel because it's basically like hefker. And once it's like hefker, it's much of a meiser. So we see the fact that something's watched. If you don't care for it, that doesn't make it chashiv. I don't care for the crumbs in the corner on the floors. I'm not sure why I keep saying the corners. I don't care about the crumbs on the floor, and therefore it's not chashiv even though it's watched. So why on earth do I have to do a bedika once I? What do I have to do? I'm sorry. What do I have to do? A a bittel after my batika, my batika should be enough. Answers the Gemara. Amarav, Zerish, maybe he's going to find a delicious cake and he's going to have das on it, and therefore he's not going to destroy it, and therefore it's going to be chametz in his possession on Pesach. Again, Rashi learns this problem. The Gemara really spells it. Let's be at the Gemara. When he finds it, the Mishkach Lo Basa, he's going to find it after his maniser. The Lab Rishus Kami, and it's not going to be in his Rishus. Lo Masiv Vatal. He's going to find it after this. It's not going to be Rishus, and he won't even be able to battle it. Why? Damar Belazar Shade Varm in the Rishus Adam. Two things that I'm the Rishus person. You know what? I got to stop. I got to go daven. I apologize. We'll pick it up, Mitzvah Hashem. In the next year, we'll pick it up.